how it lights my path, how it guides my way.
It's Luke 3:16, then Luke 24:49, and then John 14:26. Here's Luke 3:16. John answered and said to them all, "As for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who's mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Over to Luke 24, verse 49. This is Jesus speaking. "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Finally, John 14, 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send you in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Henry. Let's pray for you. Father, we thank you for Henry. We thank you for his love for you. We thank you for his zeal and energy. Lord, may that zeal and energy in the Holy Spirit be imparted to us and encourage us and help us, Lord, to get hold of this fire, Lord, that we may be a fiery people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much. Thanks, Martin. Hi, everyone. Good morning. So good to see you all, and so wonderful to share in this Holy Spirit time. I'm glad we've reached the fire one, because you guys are all about fire. Every single one of your notices had some kind of fire on it. Even the revive one, I think there was a barbecue in the background. And it is so wonderful to be in this Holy Spirit series. Can you waft your hand next to the person next to you? There we go. That's the wind of the Holy Spirit. That's very good. Anyone have a water bottle? Can you lift that up high? You got that? Got that there? Just lift that up high. What was that one? Water of the Holy Spirit, brilliant. And then just in my bag, I've got a firework that I think is safe to let off in here. No, not really. Which one are we looking at? The third one is the... That was really quiet. Our third Sunday on the Holy Spirit is all about... Ah, there we go. That's what I was looking for. And this is exciting. This is dynamic. This is the promise of God. Just as Martin's read to us, there is this promise that Jesus will baptize us in the Holy Spirit as fire. You can say hallelujah about that. And then at the other end of the scriptures, the Holy Spirit again is promised by Jesus, saying it will be poured out upon us. And then as soon as we arrive in the book of Acts in chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes on the church, and on top of their heads we see, brilliant. If only I had some CGI to make that happen for here, but I can't do that live. What we want to focus on today is this revelation of the Holy Spirit as fire upon our lives. I don't know about you, but when I think about those three, probably fire is the most dangerous one. Do you think so? Maybe? Or hurricanes, are they more dangerous than fire? I'd say wind or floods. Maybe. You can get out of a flood, but if you're on fire, you've got to get into a flood. Yeah, it's complicated, isn't it? Or then if there is a fire and then there is some wind, then the fire gets bigger, am I right? Because you get it blowing on it. It's interesting, isn't it? But again, as we think about these different images of the power of the Holy Spirit, we want to emphasize that the Lord is a God releasing his power. And it's not a power for us to keep in our pockets. It is God himself. God is revealed as the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this is God himself. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29, it says, God himself is a consuming fire. A fire that is powerful and a fire that is going to consume things in this world. And I want us to have some time to focus on that. Because the power of God in our lives is God himself coming to burn and to work within our lives as individuals and as the church together. And when we dive into those verses in Acts chapter 2, we get it spoken about in two different ways. Can everyone give me a flame, a tongue of fire on your hand? Very good, very good. It says in chapter 1, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. But then when we reach chapter 2, it says the Holy Spirit filled them. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, but when the Holy Spirit did come upon them, then the Holy Spirit filled them. Now, I was going to bring a fantastic illustration for this about being baptized in the Spirit. The only bit I remembered was my water bottle. Can you see it? Has everyone got it? It looks like it's going to be a magic trick. It's not. There's nothing fancy I'm going to do here. But that baptizing in the Holy Spirit is, again, if you imagine this bottle, and then if you imagine I had that baptistry, who was the last person to get baptized in Forest Hill? God, should we give her a clap? Come on, give her a clap. Awesome. Let's remember that baptism. Were you in the big wooden pool with the blue plastic bit inside it? Is that what you were in? Fantastic. I love that thing. It's so exciting. When you pack it up, it can even fit inside my little car. It's great. But let's just imagine a baptism being like this. This bottle, Amy, this is Amy. Everyone say, hi, Amy. And there we go. She goes down into the water. She is baptized in water. And what happens to the outside of the bottle? Is it wet or dry? Fantastic. And then what happens to the inside of the bottle if the cap's off? It fills up. So a baptism in the Holy Spirit is all about it being upon you, about being wet on the outside, but also getting wet on the inside. Am I right? Very good. Give Amy a round of applause. I think she did very well there. You can also imagine it like a sponge. Like a sponge. Does anyone use a sponge in the bath? You put it down into the water, and it gets totally drenched in the water. Am I right? Comes up, and it's full, and it's dripping, and it's flowing. But I want us to push that a little bit further, because that baptism that John was giving to people in the River Jordan, whereby they were baptized in water, he's saying Jesus is going to baptize us in fire. And therefore, in the same way as that bottle, we want a fire that is upon us. Thanks very much, Cheryl. You're the only one who's taken that seriously. And then we also want a fire that is burning within our hearts. Is anyone in a burning heart group here? Wow, that's a lot of you. Brilliant. We're going to explore that together. So I want to look at four things, if that's all right. It's going to be 1A, 1B, and then 2A and 2B. Is that too complex for a Sunday morning? Or are we going to be? Is that okay? Thanks. Brenda's all right with it. Great. So the first thing, I want to think about that Holy Spirit at work within us. And the Holy Spirit at work within us to stoke that fire and passion, but also to cleanse us. That's 1A and 1B. And then I want to think about 2A and 2B, about the fire of the Holy Spirit being upon us, all right? And that's upon us to make us a light, but also upon us to make us a blessing to one another. You all right with that? 1A and 1B is about the fire within us. Can you say within us? That's good for us still. And then number 2 is going to be all about the fire upon us. Brilliant. We've got it. Okay, here we go. I can go to page 2 of my notes now. Something that Martin mentioned earlier on is that often when we are talking and preaching and sharing about Jesus, there is fire in it. Do you like that? That's a wonderful South London word. There is fire in it. Because very simply and very beautifully, when we think about that fire of the Holy Spirit, for anyone who thinks, whoa, that sounds a bit dangerous, I'm not sure about that. There's plenty of Christians who still believe that. And we pray that they would be changed today. Because the fire of the Holy Spirit is powerful is transforming, but it is all about Jesus. Now, can you say hallelujah? I imagine you guys are called the Burning Hearts Group because of Luke chapter 24. Am I right about that? Does that sound about right? I haven't checked with Debbie, and she's not here, so she can stay over there. Yes, it is. That when they walked with Jesus in the resurrection, they said, hold on, when he was talking to us about the Bible, what was going on? Our hearts were burning. And they were in the presence of Jesus, talking to them about the scriptures and revealing himself to them. And it is in that place, face to face with Jesus, that the fire of the Holy Spirit began to stoke that passion within their hearts. So the first thing I want to say about this fiery vision of the Holy Spirit is that it is all about Jesus. The fire of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to us more of Jesus. If anyone says something about the power of the Holy Spirit and it doesn't look like Jesus, then it is not the Holy Spirit. It is another fire. It is a fire of the flesh, or is a fire of greed, or is a fire that is trying to manipulate people's lives. The power and the function of the person of the Holy Spirit is to get to work in your life so that you start to look more like Jesus. Now, are you with me, church? That's a fire that you should never be afraid of. That's a fire that you can get passionate about and say, I want the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn in my heart so that I live more like Jesus. Now, are you with me? It broke my heart a few years ago when there was someone who everyone started to watch on TV, one of the Christian TV channels. And he was preaching and sharing and praying for miracles and seeing lots of things happen. And it got very exciting. But then someone said to me, I'm a bit worried about this. It feels dangerous. And after just another couple of weeks, it was suddenly revealed that this guy had been horribly immoral, had embezzled some things within that church, and everything fell apart very quickly. This really broke my heart. I just started to be an ICTIS congregation leader in Lee Green. But then the Lord put on my heart a song to help me to deal with it. And it's a song that I wrote, and we recorded it, and it says, Holy Spirit, fill my life, help me live more like Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill my life, help me live more like Jesus. And that is the definition of the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in a God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who live in absolute, total, and perfect unity. God is so over the top about how within himself, within that love relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how much they constantly want to release things to one another. If you look through the scriptures and try to analyze that relationship of three, it's quite funny how they keep giving things to one another. It's like Jesus just says, I want to do everything to please my Father. I want to do everything to give glory to my Father. Father, everything you've told me to do, I want to do it because it brings me so much joy. Jesus is so over the top. But then the Father speaks out of heaven and says, look at my Son. I love my Son. Isn't he brilliant? It's quite funny, the conversation within that beautiful triune God that we love and worship. And you see, because in that beautiful dynamic of relationships, we have Jesus, God, as one of us, we can say that fire of the Holy Spirit, I want it in my life. It's going to help me to live more like Jesus. And you know the reason that when we speak about Christ, our hearts start to burn with that fire is because the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, just like the Father, loves to shape us to look more like Jesus. There is such a humility and an honor and a blessing. And when anyone is speaking and praying about the fire of the Holy Spirit, you can tell if it's genuine, if there is that humility of Christ, that reverence, that awe, that looks at that fire and not doesn't say, hey, here is the fire, this is what I want to do with it, but says, hey, here is this fire, this power, this passion that is burning within me with a love for God. Let that power guide me. You know, that burning, fiery, passionate love is something of eternity beginning to burn in our hearts. Amen? The fire and the passionate love of God flowing between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit You know, it predates everything else. Before God had power and authority over creation, before he'd even decided to make creation, the fire and the passion of love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was already burning. Love predates all of it. Love is greater and more wonderful, and the fire and the power of that love, as it is poured out upon us by the Holy Spirit, is taking us deep into that eternity. Do you want a burning heart? Do you want the fire of that love? I want it to flow. And you know what it's going to do? Is lead you to look more and more and more like Jesus. So we want hearts that are burning with love. Hearts that are burning with passion. But again, let's come back and read these verses. Because 1b is that the burning of the power of the Spirit in our lives is a fire that not only gives us burning hearts of passion and of love and of compassion for one another, but it's also a fire that is going to get to work in us to cleanse us. If you look again at Luke chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 15. Everyone's listening to John the Baptist preaching, looking at him baptizing, getting really excited. And they say, while the people were in a state of expectation, they were all wondering in their hearts about John as to whether he was the Christ. Is he the Messiah? Is this wild guy living in the wilderness, baptizing people and helping them to repent of their sins? Perhaps this guy is the Messiah. I think it was fairly safe for them to expect that. What do you think? I think seeing that dude, you'd say, God's using him. Maybe he's the one we're expecting. But John answered and said to them all, as for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Verse 17 then says, his winnowing fork is in his hand. To thoroughly clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Wow. That sounds powerful. That's why probably the fire one is the one that everyone is most cautious about. But in the same way as the fire in our hearts gives us a burning heart of love to look at Jesus and to live like Jesus, I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to allow the fire of the Holy Spirit into your life to start to burn some stuff up in Jesus' name. To start to burn up everything that is in the way. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you. From the age of about 3 months old, I lived about a mile that way. I've never lived in the countryside. I've never been involved in any kind of farming. When someone talks about threshing floors and wheat and chaff, it just goes right over my head. But when we read it, and when we take it in, and when we think about it, it's that deep within the stuff that's been growing in the field is the stuff that they really want, is the actual wheat. And everything else around it within which it has grown starts to become dry and dead and useless. And in this place, in this agricultural kind of world that Jesus is speaking into, there are all these kind of people who are working in this kind of way, who are desperate to get the bit that's inside the wheat that's going to make the food, and all the other dried, dead stuff that's around it, they really need to clear it out. The winnowing fork was this kind of tool that was used to try and deal with this stuff. Apparently, I've never used one. But what we have in this moment is an image of everything that used to be the place where the wheat grew. It used to be the house. It was the place that used to define the wheat. It was the safe place. But it has gone dry and it has become dead. And the wheat needs to come out of that which is old and dry and dead. Are you with me? Everything within which it used to live and needs to come into the place where it's going to live forever. The wheat needs to come out of the place within which it grew, the place within which it used to have its home, and needs to come into its eternal home. There is a sense of being transferred. And all of the things that used to define us need to be burned up in Jesus' name. There are so many people in this world in these days who are defining themselves by the things that they used to be in. You know, staying trapped in that which used to define you. Staying trapped and defining yourselves by your sins or those who sinned against you. Do you know that often can be a safe place? To constantly keep convincing yourself that I've got enough problems to not take the fire of the Holy Spirit seriously is a nice place to hang out. I want to challenge you today. Let's let the fire of God start to burn within us such that all that is a safe place, all that is a reason to not go 100% for Jesus, we want it to be burned up. Now, is anyone here with me? I want everything that used to define me, stuff that is based in fear, stuff that is based in pride, stuff that is based on where I might come from or what I've achieved in my life, I want it all to be burned up, and I want to be fully defined by the light of Jesus. Now, is anyone with me? Let's allow those things to be burned up. In fact, 10 verses before, Jesus has also talked about us being like a tree, having a dead branch that's not bearing any fruit. And again, he's used that image of fire. Hack it off. Chuck it in the fire. Let's have nothing left in our lives that isn't going to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit to look like Jesus. You know, I want that fire to burn in my life. Lord, I want to be a holy disciple of yours. I want to be one who is able to put those things in the fire and say they have been fully consumed. And I want to put my life to count for you, to count for your harvest. And you know, the scripture even pushes it another step further. Equally, we don't have many wheat fields in Southeast London. We also don't have many places where people melt down gold, which apparently needs to be over 1,000 degrees to melt down. Any gold melters here? No. But the scripture talks about God as a consuming fire, even going to that kind of level. Being one whereby gold, which is found and dug out of the ground, is melted down in such a way that every single bit of impurity within that metal is able to be burnt up and able to be scraped off and able to be gotten rid of in such a way that the gold is 100% pure. Now that sounds beautiful, doesn't it? God describes his fire of his Holy Spirit at work in our life to be something like that. Now that's extraordinary, right? Now that's huge. There's a beautiful song that talks about it, doesn't it? Refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be, I have to sing it, holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master. Ready to do your will. Such beautiful words, refine as fire. And here is the wild thing, is that every time when that word holy pops up, it's that so many of us react with a feeling of guilt. And, oh, I got to try to be more holy. Do you think that's the way the gold speaks to the fire? Do you think the gold stands in front of the fire and says, fire, I'd just like to let you know, I've been trying really hard to not have impurities within me. Absolutely not. What does the gold do before the fire? It's about to be melted and shaped. I'd say the gold and the fire start to talk to one another and say, hey, we're about to work together today. I think it's 1,064 degrees centigrade or Celsius. That's hot, isn't it? And they say, aren't you looking forward to the ring that we're going to be? Aren't you looking forward to the jewelry that we're going to create? We're going to be so shiny. We're going to be so pure. At the moment, we've got all these impurities right there within the gold. We're going to burn them all out. We're going to scrape them all off. And that gold is how God sees us. Shiny enough to reflect his face. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? That is the fire of the Holy Spirit at work within our lives. Check with the person next to you. Do you want to be more shiny? Do you want to be more shiny? Oh, man, I think this side are a bit more keen on being shiny than you guys. So that's something of the Holy Spirit fire at work within our lives. What about you? Do you want to be a bit more melted today? Yes, Lord. Do you want to be a bit more shaped and crafted by him today? Yes, Lord. I want to be shaped. I want to be crafted. I want to be molded to look beautiful for the Lord Jesus. But I want to talk for a moment before we pray and before we welcome some more of that fire to burn within our lives. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit upon us as well. As I mentioned in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, go into Jerusalem. I want you to wait, and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be given to you. And then you're going to be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, in all Judea, into Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit upon our lives is not there to entertain us. The Holy Spirit upon our lives is not there simply to bring more confirmation to us. But the Holy Spirit is upon our lives to make us witnesses for Jesus. The Holy Spirit is lighting up our lives in such a way that the fire was spreading and distributing onto the heads of all those 120 people in Acts chapter 2. And every single one of them got a flame. Was that the flame? Every single one of them got the flame. Can we take that in for a moment? Every single one of them was given a flame upon their head of the Holy Spirit to be a witness for the Lord Jesus. Therefore, no one is left out. Now, can you say hallelujah? The fire is not just for some. The fire of the Holy Spirit is for everyone who loves Jesus. Now, are you with me? The witnessing of this beautiful, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ is not just for some people. It is for everyone. And that image, that vision, there could have been just one fire in that room, right? Probably a room smaller than this. It would have been fine if there'd just been one big fat fire above their head. And that would have been enough, right? But God deliberately, by his Spirit, is showing them that this flame, these tongues of fire, is for every person. Everyone. No one is left out. You all will be my witnesses right to the ends of the earth. And after all we've said about this inner work of the Holy Spirit, the first thing I want to say about this flame of the Holy Spirit is that it is there to be a light. In these days of electricity, we don't often use fire for light. Am I right? We often think as fire as simply being something for warmth, and we're going to think about that in a moment. But the primary place that light would have been gotten and taken in dark times overnight would have been with a fire. And we need to take that in these days. The fire of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives is to make each one of us a light. And the flame was distributed with a tongue of fire for every single person. Now, are you with me in that? Do we believe that about our church life together? Do we believe that about the Holy Spirit? Is that each one of us is called to live as a witness for him in every situation we can find ourselves in? Just tell someone near you, you are a light for Jesus. You are a light for Jesus. Come on, say it with a little bit more fire. You are a light for Jesus. Hallelujah. And I probably don't need to tell you this, but whenever there is a dark situation, if there is just one flame, one light in the room, everyone looks at it. Am I right? If there is one light that goes on in a dark situation, the whole room will turn and look. And we are in days in the UK where there is an awful lot of darkness around us. And it is simply those who say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today, who are making the difference in these days. It is those who are able to stand up and say, in the midst of the darkness, there is a light that can overcome this darkness. Now, do we believe it? Those who are willing to declare, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Anointed One. I believe in light overcoming the darkness. Every time we declare that, every time we say it, every time we demonstrate it with our lives and our actions, in every context we find ourselves in, there is something so beautiful of God's light. In the same way that God is a consuming fire to consume those dark things within us, to burn up the chaff and to purify our lives like gold, in the same way the light of Jesus is able to consume the darkness in this world. Now, are you with me? Do we believe it? We are in days where individuals, where neighborhoods, where different places where we go to share the love of Jesus, they are lighting up with the light of Christ. It is so beautiful. It's so wonderful sharing in evangelism. I was with you guys on the City on a Hill weekend, Forest Hill. When was that? It feels like years ago now. It wasn't long ago. We were in Forest Hill outside the old bingo hall. Was anyone else there? I loved it. It was our first time trying out having two battery-powered speakers on the street, not just one. That was more exciting to me than anyone else, I think. But it was wonderful. It was really loud. As we were out on the streets, we were singing, we were worshiping. There were so many of us there gathering from different congregations and different places around Ichthus. We were singing, worshiping, praising God on the streets. And there was such an infectious growing of light and energy and strength as we sang. It was so beautiful. Everyone, as they stepped across the sound, as they stepped through and heard us worshiping Jesus, there was an undeniable joy, an undeniable experience of the presence of God in that place. And that's because the tongues of fire were distributed on every one of our lives. Light was consuming the darkness, and we want to see more and more of it consumed in Jesus' name. But I want to say one more thing. Is that all right? Not only is the Holy Spirit upon us a light for the world, a light for the lost, a light for those living in darkness, but the fire of the Holy Spirit is for every single one of us. Has anyone here ever sat around a fire pit? Have you ever done that? I love it. Isn't it brilliant? I'm going to make you really jealous. The Ichthus Belvedere fire pit is massive. It's like a satellite dish that you might get like on the top of a building. It's huge. And I love it. You can put so much wood in it and you can get a flame that gets huge. It's brilliant. There was a little lad who was sitting by it. He was about 4 years old. He was like, it's so wonderful. It's so glorious. I just want to get inside. And started walking towards it. But we stopped him in time. It was okay. And then we explained, this fire is wonderful, but it is powerful. And it will burn you up. He respected it, and he wasn't burnt in any way. But it was something that would always gather everyone in the whole campsite. We'd all be gathered around the fire, and we'd love it, and we'd love seeing the big flames. But there was a moment when the flames die down, and there's something called the embers. You know that moment? The embers, and it's glowing. And it's so funny. It happens every single time you do a fire, is that everyone's watching the embers. Because the embers are alive, right? They glow, but it's not just one steady glow. It's a humming glow, isn't it? It kind of moves. It kind of dances. There's often little blue bits that are doing this. Sometimes if it's crazy hot, it's almost white inside. And then there's yellows and there's oranges and there's reds. And there's a moment where everyone just stops talking and they're just mesmerized. Just watching the embers. And everyone's like, And everyone stops talking, and there is a peace that is so amazing. And you start to see it as it constantly moves and constantly shares. And I'm probably wrong, but what's always going on in my heart is looking at how those embers burn together. how this ember next to that one is sharing their heat and helping one another to keep burning. And there are embers in the middle of all the other embers that burn really bright because they are surrounded by the heat and the burning of all the others. And there are embers on the edge, and sometimes they might burn out a bit soon. And before they've been totally consumed and finished their life, which began as a log an hour ago and now is an ember, sometimes they cool down prematurely and they don't get to complete their life as this beautiful glowing dance of shared heat together. And I don't know about you, but I love getting the tongs and picking one of those up and putting them back in the center of the fire. Do you know what I mean? You get them all back together and you try to get them all burning before Giles comes around at 11 o'clock and says, put your fire out. And you say, please, 5 more minutes. But it is an amazing thing to say that the fire of the Holy Spirit not only should be the defining thing of my life as an individual, but it should be the defining thing of our lives as the church together. You know, we have a life together, don't we? We have no idea how many years we have together. I don't know how long I'm going to live for, how long you're going to live for. But what I can say is I want to live alongside you today. And I want to live in that warmth and that glow of the Holy Spirit together. I've been set alight for Jesus. And I don't want to go out. And I don't want to prematurely fall away from what it is to be at the center of a Spirit-filled church and just end up going gray. I'm not talking about my hair. End up kind of going gray and boring on the side because I thought I could burn on my own. And I want to say this with as much force as I can forcefully get in your face with. Is that Christians who think that they can take the fire on their own and wander around outside of the fire pit or try to go and glow in the world without a place whereby there is love and passion for Jesus right at the heart is always going to burn out early. It's going to go cool and cold and not finish the race and left eternally wondering, what went wrong? And left eternally wondering, where did that passion, where did that love, where did that heart, where did that something, that power that I cannot explain that is given to us from God, where has it gone? We need to be at the heart of that fire together. I really wish we were outside and I could build a fire pit for you because it happens crazy fast. Even if you take one right from the very middle of the burning group of embers, it can be as little as 5 minutes before it's immediately lost its yellowy, orangey, reddy, beautiful glow and becomes something that is isolated and lost. There is space for everyone within the body of Christ. There is room for everyone to come and to put their lives into burning for Jesus. It doesn't matter how long you've been burning for or how quickly you've been burning for, how old you are in the spirit or how old you are in the natural. We are together for the Lord Jesus. Now, are you with me? I want to burn together as God's people. And we want the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives in such a way that people can step into it and say, what is this love? What is this warmth? I want to be part of it. I want to belong to it. Lord, fill us with your fire today. I'm going to welcome the worship team back up. If that's all right.
Let your living word abide in me so richly as I abide in you. Let your living word abide in me.